There you go. You may be seated. Wonderful, wonderful crowd here today, and I like these banners. I like what they say, the message they get forth. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're speaking to, who all are we speaking to here this morning? Quite a few. Let's see, United Kingdom, Kenya, Nigeria. The boys, the priestly boys, went out at 3:45 a.m. while you were sleeping. These young priests were teaching the nations, going out to the nations, teaching. Yes, praise Yahweh. That is wonderful, I think. And the girls then took over at 5:45. Maybe that's what's wrong, that you're being shorted. You're getting up too late. You know, the early bird, early bird gets the worms, or the lamb, either one, whichever one you choose. Well, Yahweh bless each and every one of you with knowledge and understanding today, and we're going to get right in the where we left off Sabbath. I got to read you this first. There are several, the schools, you know, they're having trouble, big time problems. And one thing that they've decided on is that uniforms would help the situation. So they're admitting now that the way people dress would actually help the situation. I don't know if they realize what they've admitted here, but that's what the scripture shows them too. But they deny the scriptures, but Yahweh shows in the Holy Scriptures that the way you dress brings righteousness, or it brings evil to your lives. The way you dress. Uniforms are not going to solve their problems. They think that they will. If everyone's dressed alike, that they will help to solve their problems. But the uniforms, the lack of uniforms, you know, we have uniforms in the Army and Navy, and we have problems there every day with rape and murder and you name it. We're having it in our armed forces right now. Where do we start? If you remember where we left off, I don't. But here we go, right here. Now, I hope you can remember all of this that we covered last week, especially about the donkeys, the setting on the donkeys, because this is a prophecy referring to us, the two women in the last days, of course, that established the house. All of this is given in detail, and there's more than I have brought you so far, much more than what I've brought you. But if you remember in Matthew 21:7, Yahshua, in order to fulfill a prophecy or put it in the minds of the apostles, he had probably taught them, but the others is for us. All the other stuff that took place there is for us, showing the prophecies and that they were going to be fulfilled. And he said this several times to his disciples. But he said on them. Well, here's where the commentators, the true Bible scholars, here's where they start having trouble, because they don't know the prophecy. And of course, Yahweh has revealed it to his house in these last days. If you remember, Daniel was instructed, close the books, which Daniel did. Daniel was given the power to pronounce the understanding closed until the time of the end. Now, if you can imagine that. And he wrote it, and then it came to pass. Yahweh inspired it to be written. And then it was a prophecy that Yahweh inspired to take place almost immediately. And then after that, Daniel was shown then two others that would start revealing the prophecy in the last days. Now, he was shown that much of it, and that's all. And then he closed the books. And Yahweh said, in the last days then, I will establish my house. But it started with the Savior, because the Savior was the first to receive the power, the authority that would actually bring forth the end time work, which would resurrect the dead and then give offices to those who qualified to go out to the nations and, of course, to the universe. And Yeshua was the one that fulfilled that. In Genesis 49, it shows that he is the donkeys that he was riding, that he sat on, both of them, included two works. One of them was his own, which was tied to the vine. We better go there so you won't be getting mixed up again. Maybe you could make yourself a note to this right here. Genesis 49 and verse 10. Now, these are the famous prophecies, don't forget, the famous prophecies that true Bible scholars have struggled with for years trying to understand. Also, the scripture itself says that very thing. It said even the Malachim in heaven desired to understand these prophecies and could not. The main thing, the reason it was kept secret was so a certain work could be established, like it was with Yahshua when Yahweh said to his father, take the boy and go to Egypt to keep the boy from getting killed. Well, today I've heard a lot of comments saying, well, Yahweh could protect you. Well, he did protect. That's exactly the way he did protect. He hid the Savior for a certain length of time, as he did Moshe and as he did this last day's work. You're going to marvel when you see all the scriptures that Yahweh shows in bits and pieces throughout the Holy Scriptures concerning Yahshua, which was not even shown to his disciples that I can find. But now we know it in these last days because he's opened this knowledge to us. But it's talking about a scepter here. That's a rulership. And that scepter, as you remember, was righteousness. That was his scepter. It wasn't like the Constantine, where he was given a sword. That doesn't bring peace. Righteousness brings peace. Constantine was given just the opposite of that, to bring forth the beastly powers to the nation, conquering and to conquer, which is still going on. He's still conquering, but you never get it conquered. It's like seeking for silver. You never get it done. You just keep on seeking for silver. Well, his scepter in verse 10 is a scepter of righteousness. And of course, that's what each one of us must obtain in order to be a part of this work with Yahshua, to keep fastened to the chosen branch that he is riding in this time period, that he sets upon in this time period. That is, we're the beast that carries the burden of the work in these last days to all nations. Well, he says in verse 11, feathering the donkey to the vine, and Yahshua plainly says he was the vine. So he's feathering this donkey, which represents his disciples, whose foundation we follow, we stand on, along with the foundation of the prophets, as one of the apostles himself said. So, thithering his donkey to the vine, which is Yahshua, then thithering the donkey's colt to the choice branch. The choice branch. Now, you should have that, but I want to do this for the audience's sake. Turn over to Isaiah 45. Remember those words. To the choice branch. Isaiah 45. Isaiah gives a lot of the prophecies. He was chosen to give a lot of the prophecies. He doesn't give them all, but he gives a lot of them. And in Isaiah 45, if you remember what is put there in Genesis, Isaiah 45, and look to verse 4. Isaiah 45 and verse 4, remember what he says now to the choice branch. He's got to thither his donkey's colts, which is the workers, like the 12 disciples and their followers. Well, today we have the choice branch and their followers, or the workers, here doing the work. For verse 4 now. Isaiah 45, verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my chosen. My chosen. Chosen. You see that? My chosen. Israel, my chosen. Now look over look back to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. And we'll put all of this together, and it paints the most beautiful picture for today's last day's work. Remember what you read in Genesis. Thither the donkey's colt to the branch, the chosen branch, the chosen branch. And here in Isaiah 11 now, in verse 1, he says, there will come forth. And if you knew this prophecy then, when you read on over to Isaiah 45, verse 4, you'd say, hey, that's what that's talking about, isn't it? The rod that brings forth Yahshua, and then a branch here. Notice, and there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yeshua, translated by the King James, Jesse, and a branch will grow out of its roots. A branch will go out of its roots. Now notice what the branch will carry. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the reverence of Yahweh. Now that's what he's promised to the chosen branch that leads, that the donkeys are thithered to in the last days. Could it be any plainer?
Praise Yahweh.
Now, if that were not enough, go on over to Zechariah now with the same thing in mind. Same thing in mind, and look at chapter 4. Because we see here now a last days prophecy that ties in with the two witnesses, of course, and a work that Isaiah prophesied in chapter 2 that would be taking place. In the last days, I will establish my house. Remember, we'll get back to that in a moment. But remember now Genesis 49:10, thither your donkey's colt to the choice branch. And then we see where the breeding comes from. And the teaching comes from Isaiah 11:1, and then Isaiah 44, Isaiah 45, verse 4. Now here in Zechariah 4, he says in verse 2, he says, and now remember what you see here, because you should know the law by now, and you know what was built was the box that we see sitting right here in front with the candlestand to its right, as we see right over here on the right. And this was given to Moshe. Now, these all represented something. They weren't just put there for a show. Oh, well, I think we should put 7 lamps up there. Don't it look pretty? And then, let's separate them to where they really look pretty, where they'll really catch the eye now. And let's make them glow just a little and quiver and so forth, so they'll really look pretty. Isn't that pretty, just sitting there like that? Well, what they do, they represent something. Like this box right here, it's missing the 4 horns, but nevertheless, we'll bring that out later, because that's where the sacrifice was tied, of course. And I know you're all on pins and needles, but it's kept you studying this, hasn't it? It's kept you thinking about it, even if you haven't come to the knowledge of the truth. But each one of these things represents the plan of Yahweh, and they're sitting right in Yahweh's face all the time. That's how important they are. This is my project right here, he says. And he said, it's going to be made exactly as I have this pattern set for you. To Moshe, see to it that you don't alter. You make this exactly. And they think, well, he's talking about the candlesticks. No, he's talking about a building made without hands. A building which you are, you're made without hands, and you're being constructed into someone that will carry this scepter, represent the scepter of righteousness, as Yahshua represented the scepter of righteousness. The scepter belongs to Yahweh, who he has handed to the king, ordaining him as king right now. And the king then wants to give that same authority to the donkey and the donkey's colts. The donkey's colts are going to be first if you make it, brethren. That's how important it is. So verse 2, he shows here then the lampstand to my right. It's to the right of Yahweh's throne. And it's so amazing that this is setting before Yahweh and he's as his project, his loving project that he is forever dedicated to. Forever. It's going to take over the universe forever, bringing peace, righteousness through peace. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I see and behold a lampstand. And of course, now you know what this represents, and Moshe knew what it represents, but Moshe didn't see how all of this was brought about. Neither did Daniel. Daniel actually wept because he couldn't see the rest of this. And the Malachim in heaven are weeping and anxious for us to show them, as anxious as you are right now to hear it, they are too. They're anxious, very anxious for me to bring this out. And we're going to, maybe not today, but we'll get to it. Lampstand of gold with its bowls on the top of it and the seven lampstand on it. And there was seven pipes to the seven lampstands. And there was two olive trees that this one is standing on here, two olive trees that represent this plan. There are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side and the other upon the left side of it. And I spoke to the Moloch who talked with me, and I asked him, what are these? Look on down now to verse 11. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the lampstand and upon the left side of it? And he spoke with me and said to him, what are these two olive branches? Branches. So see, this ties it in to the other scripture. You have the olive trees, and now he's mentioned the branches, which you should have connected this with Isaiah's prophecy. You Malachim in heaven, and you Bible scholars that are struggling to find out these very famous prophecies that no one understands. No one until this present time period. What are these two olive branches which, through the two golden pipes, emptied the golden oil through them? The golden oil, of course, is the word of Yahweh. And he answered me and said, verse 13, do you not know? And then verse 14, then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand for, that is, serve an office that was prophesied from the beginning, a time period where a work would be done by two men, started by two men, in the last days through Yeshua, who's riding these donkeys and guiding the branch, the chosen branch to do this, guiding it so it will fulfill the prophecies given to it in Isaiah and here in Zechariah and many other places. They are the ones that stand for the supreme ruler of the whole earth. Now, you can bet that that's what they do. Yahweh would not have it any other way. He's the one. If he did, his prophecy would fail, brethren. If Yeshua hadn't have fulfilled all of these prophecies written about him, the plan of Yahweh would have collapsed. And he would be the laughing stock of Satan and all of her demons. This will not fail, as Yeshua said it will not fail. Now, if you go on down to, two women, as a previous priest just brought out, and then go to verse 10, then I said to the Moloch who was speaking with me, where are they going, these two people who stand for the supreme ruler of the whole earth with this ephah? And he said to me, to build the house of Yahweh. Well, in the last days now, I will establish my house. So here now he gives us another clue pointing to a work that would be hidden where Satan wouldn't even know what was taking place until they had a work going, and lo and behold, the name Yahweh was coming out from radio, television, and so forth, and then she couldn't believe her eyes, her ears. Well, he said, well, Herod now is dead, so go on back and get to work in Nazareth. Remember, he told his father, Herod's dead. He's the one that was seeking the life of the boy. So he's dead. Now you can go on back and get the boy to working and taking this message out, like what is taking place with the young priest and the priestess here on Sabbath morning here talking to the world. That's another prophecy that's being fulfilled about these donkeys because they have colts too now. don't forget. And those colts are spoken of now. Their colts are spoken of in Yael 2 is one of the scriptures that is spoken of, but many other places besides that of the work that you are doing right now, whether you know it or not, you're fulfilling those prophecies that have big things written about you. Did you get that over here, girls, young girls? Did you hear me? Well, verse 11 now, he said to me, to build the house of Yahweh. In the last days I will establish my house. Well, so he says, two people, one of them identified as branches, and then one chosen branch that takes it to the very end, this work to the very end, that Yeshua is king and high priest over, as we just read in Hebrews 10 last week. Now, and he said to me to build the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection. Did you get that? Do you believe that? Yes. Praise Yahweh. You can't go wrong in believing if you will practice the righteousness that goes with it. You just can't go wrong. As Yeshua said, I've got to bring a sermon on that, by the way, because some are thinking, they're hearing Christianity for some reason. I don't know how they got back to Christianity, but they did. And Christianity is the one that brings in, you know, just believe, only believe. You can't perform the laws, so just believe. Well, there's a lot more than believing. It's great you're a fool if you don't believe. But then if you believe and don't work, as the apostle Jacob said, then your works are dead and your belief is dead being alone. Remember that. I'll bring you the rest later. Okay, in a Babylonian land which does not yet exist, a Babylonian land which does, now it doesn't mean the dirt doesn't exist, but the establishment of that land doesn't exist at this time. Did you get that, Okies? Did you understand that? That Oklahoma didn't exist at that time as a nation? That's what he's speaking of right here. A Babylonian land that hasn't been established at this time. Well, this was a clue that was actually given here for this prophecy, but who would have ever made anything out of this? Nobody did for 6,000 years. Satan hasn't figured it out yet until we told her just now, or maybe in bits and pieces down through as the training period has gone for the last 40 years here in Abilene. And it will be established, that is, this land will be established at that time when the two witnesses are called to do their work as the established place, the habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. So here was a prophecy saying a Babylonian land now is going to be established, and that right there is where the work is going to begin. Well, of course, does that mean then that the house of Yahweh would be established there? No, you got to know the other prophecy. And the other prophecy is that I will hide a woman there that will be nourished, and she will nourish someone that's going to do a work for a work in the last day. Well, that's shown in Revelations 12. But remember this right here now, and the branches here. The branches in verse 12, and I spoke with him again and said to him, what are these two olive branches which from the olive trees as shown on each side of the lampstand that pour the golden oil into the lights that makes it shine so you can see the truth. The truth. You see how it represents it? Now, the two branches. Now, look on over that, and remember what you read now in Genesis 49, verse 10, about the donkeys being tied to the chosen branch. Isaiah 45:4, about the branch and where the breeding actually comes from. Then Isaiah 11:1. And now here in Zechariah, the two here. Now go over to Revelations 11. I know all of you know this here about the two witnesses, but there's a lot of people that's hearing my voice right now that don't know this, so we must put it in, and this is a great place to put it in the book too. But Revelations 11, and remember what you saw about the branches now. That's the important thing. And look here to Revelations 11. The world knows this. Satan knows this. And Satan, the way she screwed the scriptures up, is no wonder she couldn't understand it, because she had two plain men blowing fire out of their nose, burning up everybody that got in their way. Now, that's what she would like to paint in Constantine. But Constantine didn't have that power either. He had the power of a sword, which he cut a lot of people to pieces with, hacked them to pieces. Yes, he was well known for the way he killed people. The brutal person that she brought forth, worse than the unicorn itself, to the world, is the leader of the religions today who still practice their ways of war, but they've got more than just the sword to play with now. Well, here in Revelations 11 now, remember the branches concerning the work in the last days and the donkeys that the Savior is riding in these last days, which are you, brethren. You're the donkeys. You're the beast that carries the word of Yahweh, the work, the labor. The laborers are few. That's the donkeys for the laborers that do the work in these last days. And he says, and there was given unto me a reed like a measuring rod, and the Moloch stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and its confines. That work started in 1982, and we have a temple model over here that everyone knows is correct. Even the true Bible scholars know this. And we have our articles written on this, and they're free of charge to anyone who wants information on it. They were run all over the world. Yahweh saw to that in famous magazines that wrote to us to get information to run our article about this prophecy that came to pass right here in 1982. That's when the work started on that temple project that's right over there in the right-hand corner of the sanctuary at this time. It started in 1982, the first work, when the first time I went up on the Temple Mound and started taking measurements and to see what I could find there that would tie in with this prophecy that I knew I was going to be involved in. Well, in verse 2, it says, but the court which is outside the temple, leave out, we're the only ones, brethren, that ever painted this picture. We're the only one. No one has ever came up with this information that we did and actually painted the model as the prophets saw it and Yahweh revealed their writings to us. Measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, that is the heathen, the unbelievers. That word Gentile there, remember, there's no such thing as races. That's all lies. What there is believers and non-believers in the world. And that's the way Yahweh divides the people. And the holy city, and believing is not one that says yes, you know, that comes to the altar and says, I believe, and the preacher pronounced you saved. It has to do with believing all that the prophets have spoken, as the Savior plainly said in Luke 24, verse 25, you're a fool if you don't believe all that they have spoken. And then believe into Him, which takes you into this work that He is doing in these last days. But the Gentiles now, or unbelievers, it's given to unbelievers, and the holy city they will tread underfoot, 42 moons, speaking of the worst time period ever, and I will give to my two witnesses to proclaim this time period, is what he's saying, from the prophetic office, and I will give to them, and they will foretell events. And one of the prophecies in Isaiah 44 says, let them foretell them, speaking of the witnesses. Isaiah 44, we'll get to that later. But it's speaking of the two witnesses and gives their names there. Gives their names for all of those who really want to know who these are. It gives the names there in that chapter 44. And foretell events about the 1,260 days, those cast about with darkness. These are, as it were, the two olive trees. Well, where did we see that? We just saw it in Zechariah 4 and verse 12. Who are these two olive trees? Well, Yahweh said, now in this time period, I will give the two witnesses power to foretell about these events. That's exactly what was given unto the two witnesses. Authority or power, knowledge of quick understanding, to be able to foretell this. That's the prophecy. The prophecy about blowing fire out of your nostrils and destroying all of those in your sight, that's not in the prophecies. That was added, as we have brought out in our in the books later. Now notice in verse 4, these are, as it were, the two olive trees and, as it were, the two lampstands to the right of Yahweh's throne, ministering for the Father. What does it say in Zechariah? Remember that again. Let me turn there and read it quickly. Zechariah 4. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of the earth. And in Revelations 11, verse 4, these are the two ministering for the Father of the earth, or the whole earth. And one of them has a mouth that's sharper than a two-edged sword. Praise Yahweh. Well, you tied it together here now with the revelation. So we know from Revelations, these are my two witnesses, as is shown also. Go back now to Isaiah 44, because here is where he gives the name, and coming, they're brothers from the same womb, and in verse 7, this is what we see in Revelations 11, who as I will foretell and set it in order for me? Who is it that will do this? Well, now these are the famous prophecies that you've been hunting the answers to, wanting to know who these are. The problem is you haven't noticed their names. Maybe it's because of the translations. But you who understand Hebrew, you know that their names are Yisrael and Yaakov from the same womb, and Yahweh brought about the prophecy of how they would get those names, how they would actually get them, and they would be translated into another language and given in that language. And verse 7, and who, as I, will foretell? Who is this person that's doing the work? That's what we want to know of Isaiah 41. The famous prophecies that you have struggled over for centuries now. Well, here's the answer right under your nose, but you couldn't see it. And this has been here all this time, but it couldn't be made plain. It was hidden. And no matter how you struggled, you could not understand it. But if you'll put it together, you will understand in these last days that what I'm saying is absolute truth and very understandable now. Praise y'all. Who as I will foretell them and set it in order for me? This is Yahshua's last day's work, as we'll see here in just a moment. Since I appointed, Yahweh appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming and will come. He appointed this. It's not happening by accident. None of this occurred by accident. Remember what he said. Not one thing is allowed in the plan. Remember Yochanan 1 through 6? Not one thing was allowed to take place in the house of Yahweh that wasn't appointed ahead of time concerning this work that we're setting in right now. Yahshua said, you're a fool. You're a fool if you don't believe. There's so much stuff on this that he has put here for us in the last days. There's no way you could keep from it if you pay attention to what he said and read what he said. Let them foretell them. See, it's appointed to them to foretell these things. It couldn't be plainer, right? Now, the first prophecy. Remember in Matithiah, let's go back to Genesis. But Matithiah 21 and verse 7, remember that prophecy. Well, here is the prophecy that it's speaking about, and him taking his seat on the donkeys. He's the first one to actually take his seat on these donkeys. This was a work that the prophecy said that he would be given, the authority given to him, and he qualified for it, fulfilled all the prophecies concerning this. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 verse 26. And Yahweh said, I will make man in my image according to my likeness, and they will have rulership. If you go over now to Yochanan, concerning Yahshua, Yochanan, the fifth chapter, Yochanan 5. Now, he shows a lot of stuff here. And remember the donkeys that's doing the work. Because this is a prophecy not only of Yahshua receiving the authority, but giving the authority to his donkeys. He doesn't do it himself. It's just like Yahweh sitting on a throne and Yahshua doing this work that he did here on earth up until a certain time period where he was prophesied at that certain time period to take his seat by the side of Yahweh. That was given unto him by the Psalms. In the Psalms, a prophecy given to him, the Yahweh said unto my ruler, Yahweh said unto my ruler, set at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, till I convert your enemies, in other words. Well, here in Yochanan now, we see the start of the fulfilling of this prophecy that's given. I will make man in my image, and I'm going to give him authority. Make him in my image and after my likeness, and he's going to receive power. Well, he received it. He received that authority in verse 27. And has given him authority to execute judgment. Also, because he is the Son of Man. So the work that we see that is being done and all the little intricate details that brought you to the strength that you are right now in the work of Yahweh and in the believing of the work of Yahweh, all of that was before ordained, appointed, that it would take place. Yes, my arrest and punishment, the persecution that is coming my way, that has come my way, the hatred that you see of me and all the world was for a purpose. One thing was to make us known, make the house of Yahweh known throughout the whole world. It was told to me that the First Lady made the statement that everyone in the world knows Israel Hawkins. Well, that's part of this lifting, like lifting Yahshua up. Everyone knows Yahshua. Well, now everyone knows the branch that is bringing forth the donkey's colts in these last days for a purpose that we're going into next here. But notice the judgment has been because he is the Son of Man. If you look back now to Matithiah 26, and to Yahshua's writings here, and let's start with verse 55, Matithiah 26, verse 55, he said, at that same time, Yahshua said to the multitudes. Now, Yahshua had a following. He didn't just have 12 disciples. And when this thing took place in Jerusalem, this night, when it took place this night, the word quickly spread throughout Jerusalem. They're going to arrest Yahshua, the man who the prophesied king of the universe that was riding the donkey earlier here in Jerusalem. So the multitudes followed with them. I don't know how many, but it calls them multitudes. Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the sacred precincts, and you did not arrest me. But all this has been done. It's been appointed or ordained or foretold ahead of time. This is what he was saying to them. This incident you're seeing, Yahweh has already ordained this thing and said this is what is going to take place. Clear down to the sum of money that was paid by the priest to Yada, Issacharit, for the price of the Savior. What was that price of money? Is that right? 30 pieces of silver. We've covered that. But all this, notice what the Savior now is saying here. Everything is taking place here. His disciples, their emotions overcame them that night, and they all ran like jackrabbits. The same thing took place here in the house of Yahweh, and many were scared to death. They were so afraid. Maybe if I'd have brought some of these things a little stronger back then, but Yahweh wanted to know what you were going to do. And of course, later, he wanted to know what the disciples, because he knew what they were going to do. He just wanted to prove what they would do in the face of danger. But later, afterwards, after Yeshua, after they saw it, then they believed and they were willing to give their lives for a work, for the work, the prophesied work. Now that was the first donkeys. And then their colts are you, who's riding on that same foundation, standing on that same foundation that the prophets and the apostles then laid after they finally started believing and stood firmly to the death, to the death. Yes, they were all killed, all except Yochanan. We don't have that record of him being dead, but he is certainly imprisoned and wrote the book of Revelations while he was in prison. But that was appointed too. But verse 56 says, "But all this has been done so that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples abandoned him and fled." Look to Matithya, because you're involved right now, deeply involved. And if you don't set your mind now, Yeshua says, you will be deceived. All except the very elect. Well, the reason you will be elected is because you've set your mind in advance, and you won't get scared when these final things take place here. Because there will be more. In Matthew 24 now, look at verse 33 and 34, and remember what we read there in Matthew 26, verse 20, 55 and 56. And look at Matthew 24, verse 33. "In the same way, when you see these things, know that his coming is near at the very door," he said. "Truly I say to you that that generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled." So he's showing you, the same as he did them, that these things, this great tribulation spoken of in verse 21, then the deception, verse 11, many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Then in verse 24, he said, "For there will arise false messiahs and false prophets who will show great signs and wonders." They'll just heal everybody they come to. Everybody that comes to them and brings them money, they'll heal them instantly. And they'll fall over backwards, and then they'll have to pick them up off the floor. And then the news men will get a hold of them later and say, "You still have this sickness?" "Yeah, I still have this sickness." "Well, isn't that strange now that you could be healed and still have this sickness?" It's a miracle. That's what it is. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that you were healed, and it's a miracle you're still sick. Well, it's deception, and that's exactly what's promised. But look what else he says there. "And show great signs and wonders." This is also in 2 Thessalonians, showing you that it's the religions that bring forth this deception, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. The only reason Yahweh will elect you to be the very elect is that you make up your mind that you're going to believe the one sent, as Yeshua said. Let's go back now to Psalms. "And you're going to stand with me to the very end, doing this work." Let's go to Psalms now, the second chapter. Now, it shows The way it's translated here, I was going to read it, but I decided I'd let the great David Yehuda bring this. But I'll bring you some here on it, and then enough to tie it in to see that where you can understand that it's tied in with the branches, with the chosen branch in the last days, and the donkey's colts that of which you are. But in verse 8, now, he says on verse 6, he said, this is Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Verse 6, he said, I set my king on Mount Zion, my holy hill. That's Yahweh. Now, if the people would have believed, which many of them did, they believed, but then they didn't know all the prophecies. So when Yeshua was arrested, you know, they all turned and ran. But before he was arrested, he was rejected by the religious system. And a hatred was put out for him across the land. They did their best through psychology to turn the people away from Yeshua. You remember all the words they said, we're not born to fornication. That man was born to fornication. They told these things to put little bits and pieces of things in your mind that would turn you, if I were Yeshua today and you were his disciples, and they brought all these things, these accusations that they did against me in these last days, you can see how they could make you doubt. So you can't condemn the prophets because they doubted. But there was thousands upon thousands. He fed one Sabbath day, he fed 5,000 people. And that was quite a miracle, I believe. Another Sabbath day, he fed 7,000 people. He actually fed them and from a few choice fish and bread. But he fed them, and all of those people left him except the 12 disciples and a few of the elect that's going to be with us in the kingdom. They won't have your power, but they will be with us in the kingdom serving. The power that is given to you, brethren, believing, is you're not going to see this anymore. You're not going to see the miracles that was worked by the prophets. You can read about them, but you won't be able to see them, and none of that's going to take place. What is going to take place is deception. Really bad deception that I haven't seen yet, but it's prophesied to be, and there's some powers prophesied to be that Satan, I know she has power, and I know she's working with the popes right now. Certain things are taking place. I think she had a plan to destroy the house of Yahweh here recently when a certain comet came within speaking distance almost of the earth, but all of a sudden, before something took place, Jupiter got hit again, and the scientist says, how could that be? There wasn't even anything going at it. And they're still puzzled as to how this strike took place and why. But I believe that she had something schemed, and Yahweh said, I'm in control, you better not try it. Another thing that you better believe is that this work that he has promised here is not going to be killed off. It's not going to deteriorate, but we are going to be changed, and we're in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will have great authority over all the enzymes that Yahweh has created. We could bring forth power to destroy, but don't even think about doing something like that. That's Satan's way. What we want to do is bring forth righteousness and show how peaceful it is and how much joy you can obtain from it. Well, here in verse 7 now, chapter 2 in verse 7, he says, I will proclaim the decree Yahweh declared. Now, this is someone, a king, that sets over Mount Zion. And that king, of course, we're just reading the fulfillments of the prophecy of that king. But he says, he's saying, the king, I will proclaim the decree Yahweh declared. Yahweh said to me. So he's speaking in first person here. He wasn't alive. This is a prophecy. He wasn't alive at this time. He was born at a certain time, a time that he was prophesied to be born. He was taught righteousness. He acquired it very rapidly. He stood for Yahweh in every turn. And then he was brought and was baptized by someone Yahweh trained and ordained ahead of time to baptize him. And then, of course, Yahweh said, this day have I begotten you, my son. You are my son. This day have I begotten you. Well, of course, the prophecies were shown to be fulfilled in book 2. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. That doesn't make much sense, does it? Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. Now, this is another prophecy that the scholars have been struggling with for years. For your inheritance, the ends of the earth. Well, what is the end of the earth that is round? What is the end of a basketball that is made round? Can you answer that? Can anybody here answer that? Well, you will be able to. The ends of the earth will be your possession. Let me read you what one of the famous scholars said about this, and this is as far as they've gotten right here. I'm up on everything they say. Ask of me, and I will give you. Here is a second branch. Here is a second branch of Yahshua's office as Savior. Now, they know this from the Hebrew words that are written here. Soon you will know it, because I do intend to bring it, but we're out of time, of course, again. Somebody set the clock up on me again. But just think about that, that they know that this is a second branch, and that's what they call it. Here is a second branch of, they use the word Christ. They haven't got any further than that yet, but they will very shortly now. Because soon they're going to start recognizing this knowledge, and they're going to start putting it together, and they're going to start saying, this is truth. That's what they're going to start saying. And then they're going to start seeking you for answers. You know how people come to you now and they say, well, I know you've been with Israel. What does he say about this? Well, this is going to take place more and more in your lives as you see the day approaching and as the people start gathering. The 2 billion, 2 billion. That's all going to take place. I didn't get to the mounts. I will next week. He stirred up one from the north, and he came from the direction of the east. Now, that'll make sense to some of you, but that's just some of the prophecies that we're going to be answering. Hopefully next week, if I don't have to pull off on something else, if it don't get more scary and I have to pull off on something else to keep somebody from falling away, we'll get to this right here again, Yahweh willing. I love you, brothers and sisters, and I'll now turn the service over to the next speaker.